Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire, where you can call in and ask your Bible questions, discuss the Bible, even disagree if you like. Let's do it respectfully. But what we're interested in is finding out God's truth, not man's truth. And John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So only the following the truth will make us free from sin. Jim from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Okay, the Bible says, whosoever puts away his wife or divorces his wife, except for fornication, commits adultery. And whoever marries that just put away commits adultery. Now, there's a lot that like to say that word adultery means breaking a covenant. But if you divorce your wife for other reasons than fornication, you broke the covenant right there. So how can someone who gets married to the woman that's been put away break a covenant when it's already been broken?
Okay, so the word doesn't, the word breaking a covenant is not the main definition for adultery.
I know, that's another proof. That's another proof right there.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you're trying to argue against that.
Oh, yeah, adultery does not mean broken covenant. I just proved it. It can't. The covenant's already been broken, so how can they break it again? By getting married to the woman that's been put away.
Right, I agree with you. I thought you were, the way you had stated it, you said it means breaking a covenant. You were trying to prove it doesn't mean that.
No.
Yeah, let's read Matthew 19:9 again, though. You quoted it pretty well. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. And I think that Jim is correct here. He said if all it meant there was breaking a covenant, then the covenant is already broken. Why would it still be wrong for that woman to remarry if the covenant's already been broken? How could she do that again? I think he's got a good point. Hebrews 13:4 helps us to see what adultery means. And guess what? We all know what adultery means. Okay? The people who are saying it just means breaking a covenant, they're just trying to get around what the passage says. All of us already know what it means. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but the sexually immoral and adulterers God will judge. So adultery is something that you do in the bed. Am I right, Jim?
Yep.
Can you see that?
Yep, that's
now,
what I say.
That's what you see from Hebrews 13:4. Adultery is something you do in the bed. Now here's John 8:4. John 8:4 is where they have an account, Jesus has an encounter with the woman taken in adultery. So John 8:4 says, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, does anybody think, okay, they caught her having a wedding ceremony? Is that what they think? No. No, we know what it means when they said they caught her in the very act of adultery. That meant they caught her in bed with another man other than her husband. Doesn't mean they caught her having a wedding ceremony. So adultery is something you do in the bed. So if you go back to Matthew 19:9, if I divorce my wife for any reason other than fornication and marry another, I commit adultery. That means every time, let's say that I'm married to Carol now. If I divorce her for incompatibility and marry Betty, I'm committing adultery. That means every time I sleep with Betty, I'm committing, get in bed with Betty, have sexual relations with Betty, I'm committing adultery. If I want to repent of that and be forgiven, remember Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. So I've got to repent of that sin if I want to be forgiven. I can't just say, I'm sorry for this adultery, God, please forgive me. But oh, by the way, I'm going to continue to sleep with Betty. That's not repenting. You got to terminate the relationship with Betty, quit getting in bed with Betty, quit committing adultery with Betty, seek reconciliation with Carol. Just like a gay marriage. Two gay men can't say to God, God, we're sorry for this gay sex. Please forgive us, but we're going to keep on doing it. That's not repentance. If you want to repent of that gay sex and get forgiven, you're going to have to quit your homosexual behavior. If you're in an adulterous, a gay marriage, you got to get out of the gay marriage. You got to terminate it. If you're in an adulterous marriage, you got to get out of the marriage. You got to terminate it. Is that just elaborating upon your point? That's the point you're making, right, Jim?
Yeah, that's right. I know preachers have been married 3 times, and they'll use anything they can to try to prove it's okay to get married again and again.
Yeah, because they're trying to justify themselves.
Yeah.
And guess what? Okay. And I can send, if somebody's interested, if y'all will, if you're interested, contact me after the program at BibleCrossfire.com. BibleCrossfire.com. You can find ways to contact me. Or you can wait to the end of the program. I'll give my cell phone number. Contact me and I'll send you some material. Okay. That basically quotes that show that 100 years ago, every church stood for the truth that if you get in that second marriage, every church says to be right with God, to repent of that and get forgiven, to be a member in good standing at that church, you're going to have to terminate the marriage. You can't stay in the adulterous marriage. Now, less than 5% of the churches are willing to stand for the truth on that. 95% of the churches or more will say, okay, divorce is regrettable, but whatever marriage you're in, just stay in it. Even if Jesus calls your marriage an adulterous marriage, these churches are saying it's okay to stay in it. They're saying it's okay to stay in an adulterous marriage. And that's false. Just because 95% of the churches out there have compromised doesn't mean it's right. If you're in a second or third marriage and it's not a scriptural marriage, it's an adulterous marriage, you've got to terminate that marriage. You've got to get out of that marriage and seek reconciliation with your original spouse. Jim, follow up.
Yeah, how can I get that, which you've got written up already? How can I get a copy of that?
Okay, text my cell phone number and ask for that, and I'll send it to you.
I can't remember. You don't have email, right? Yeah, I use a library.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Tomorrow, leave it on your answer machine, okay?
And you can, you can email that'd be great. It,
and,
that'd be great.
I'll tell you the email address, and I'd like to. How many pages is it?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I'll send it to you, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, see you later. If you have a Bible question or comment on the divorce and remarriage question or any other Bible question, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. While we're waiting on our next call, I thought we'd talk about God's impeccable character. God's impeccable character. Character, according to dictionary.com, means the aggregate of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person or thing, moral or ethical quality. Now, here's the two points I want to make from this lesson as we go through it, as we talk about God's impeccable character. Number one, our admiration for God's impeccable, or by impeccable, I mean flawless, character, should motivate us further to serve him. Let me illustrate. In your job, if you're working for a boss who's doesn't care about his employees and is always just selfishly motivated and he's a terrible boss, it's going to be hard to get motivated to work for him hard or industrious way. But if you're working for a real boss that you feel is looking out for your best interest and trying to do the best he can, is not selfish, then you're motivated to work hard for him. Well, how much more should we be motivated to serve God because he is a boss with impeccable or flawless character, perfect character? We should be motivated to the hilt to serve God. Number two, we talk about God's impeccable character because we should try to emulate God's character. 1 Peter 1:16 says, be holy even as I am holy. So if we're trying to emulate God's character, we need to know about his character to know what to emulate. So let's talk about God's character. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. You could have a question about what does the Bible say about divorce and remarriage, which was brought up by Jim earlier, or any other Bible topic, 877-655-6755. First of all, we're talking about God's character. God is loving. Loving means to strongly care for and try to affect a person for his own best good. To strongly care for and try to affect a person for his own best good. We talk about it with our spouse. Do we love a woman? Does a man love a woman? Sometimes he says he loves a woman and all he's trying to do is selfishly get out of her what he can get out of her. No, if you really love a woman, hopefully your wife, that means you will strongly care for her and try to affect that person for their own best good. Here's 1 John 4:8 talking about God's love for us, or our love for God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love, meaning he's loving. Now, this is not saying that love is our God. When it says God is love, it's not saying love is our God. It's saying that God is the epitome of love. When you think of love, think of perfect love to the absolute sense, and that is what God is. Caleb from Florida, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to ask you a question regarding divorce. I've been divorced now for 3 years. Had nothing to do with infidelity. I guess communication, attitude, just a lot of friction in the home. At that time, we were raising a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. I decided to terminate the marriage basically because of the arguments and the disrespect between the two of us.
So I can help talk about it. If you don't mind, tell me your wife's first name.
Her name is Jazz Blady.
Jazz.
Yeah.
We'll call her Jazz.
Yes, sir.
Was Jazz your first wife?
Yes.
Were you Jazz's first wife?
Yes.
Okay, so that marriage was scriptural in the sense we're talking about, in the sense that Matthew 19:9 is talking about. So if you divorce her, you only have a right to divorce her if she cheats on you sexually. Here's what Jesus said. I'll read it again in Matthew 19:9. Whosoever shall put away his wife, the newer translations will say divorce instead of put away. That's the old King James way of saying it. Whosoever shall put away or divorce his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. So you didn't divorce her for fornication. That was a sin. Caleb?
That was a sin. Yes, yes.
Yeah. I can read Matthew 5:32 to help confirm that. Let me quickly read Matthew 5:32, and then I'll let you follow up. Matthew 5:32, Jesus said, whoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. All right, go ahead, Caleb. I'm waiting for your follow-up.
Well, I understood that. I haven't had a relationship with any other woman, just raising my children up. I can say she hasn't done that as well. We're raising up the children. I would like to restore this marriage. I did it because it was bad. I mean, domestic, verbal abuse, domestic abuse. Just didn't think it was good for the children to see this. We did go to counsel, but it didn't work. It was just still a lot of miscommunication.
Who was doing the verbal abusing? Were you verbally abusing her or her you? Or both?
I think both, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't cursing, cussing, or nothing like that. It was more like getting loud, like raising the voice. She wanted to be her own boss, put it that way. She wanted to control, and I couldn't permit that. And she just always told me, look, I want a divorce, I want a divorce, I want a divorce. So I granted her her wish. And this is while we were going to counseling. It was not ending. It was a never-ending thing. And for my health, for my sanity, for her health and for her sanity, I did it. But I would like to get back together. It's just that she hasn't learned anything from these 3 years as far as knowing how to speak and communicate without creating an argument.
Caleb, I can't do marriage counseling, and I'm not a marriage counselor anyway, but I can't do it on a 30-minute program, okay?
No, I understand.
But all I can say is that God expects y'all to get back together, and guess what?
Yeah.
It's not good that the children hear the yelling.
Absolutely
that's not good.
Not.
But hold on.
Sir.
It's better that they hear the yelling than them to see two parents who have divorced each other. Okay?
Yeah.
What the kids need to see is when you're having problems that they're trying to work out the problems.
I agree.
Instead of just running from the problems. But Caleb, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to try to call you after the program so we can talk in more detail
One last thing before you leave. Why the Bible says it's better to be in a corner of a roof than to be in the house with a quarrelsome wife. Why didn't they follow up with that?
Why didn't who follow up?
I guess the writer, was it Solomon?
Okay, yeah, that was that's in the book of Proverbs. That's right.
Yeah,
it's better to be in the corner than to be with a quarrelsome woman. So, but when you make that commitment to marry somebody, Romans 7, 2 and 3, let me read Romans 7, 2 and 3. It says, for the woman which hath an husband is bound, and when you say bound, think obligated, bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. She's bound to you as long as you live, and you're bound to her, obligated to her as long as you live. No. So if you're in a marriage with a quarrelsome woman, that's unfortunate, but it's not grounds for divorce.
Right.
The only scriptural grounds for divorce are if she cheats on you sexually with another man. That's
which
unfortunate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you need to get back together, but I'm going to call you after the program and we'll talk maybe further, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Caleb.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bill from Toronto, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, Patrick. I married a woman from a different religion. She was divorced, and after I married her, her husband passed away, and now we split. Do I have grounds for remarriage?
Yeah. So, of course, we talked about this before, right? Right? We've talked about it on the phone before, right?
It was a different situation. The one we had talked about before. So
Romans 7, 2, and 3 is you married. Let me go back over it again then. You married somebody that had been divorced, but now her husband's passed away, right?
Right.
So Romans 7, 2, and 3 says you can remarry, okay? Or you can stay with her. It says at the end of verse 3, he said, well, let me read verse 3. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Okay? So once the reason it's adultery, if I divorce Carol for, say, burning the biscuits and marry Betty, the reason it's adultery when I sleep with Betty, get in bed with Betty, is because I'm bound or obligated to Carol. I'm still supposed to be loyal to Carol. Once Carol dies, that obligation is gone, and I'm free so that I can be married to Betty. That's what Romans 7, 2, and 3 is saying. Not the only thing that it's saying, but that's in addition to the other things that we've talked about. That's what it's saying. That if her spouse, her husband, died, then she's free to remarry. She's free to be married to you if her husband, her former husband, is dead. You see that in Romans 7, 2, and 3?
Yes, I do. Okay. So God didn't actually bring us together during the marriage, right?
God doesn't bring two people together. You choose who you're going to marry. God either approves of it or disapproves of it. So you chose. God didn't choose who you're going to marry. He lets you choose. He either approves of it or he disapproves. Okay? Now, when you married her, if her husband was still alive, you were not bound to her. Okay? Because it was an adulterous marriage. Once the husband dies, she's free to be married to you. Okay?
So now I'm bound to her.
Well, let's talk about that more outside of this program instead of going, okay, Bill?
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the good call. Thanks for the good question. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question about divorce and remarriage or any other Bible topic, give us a call. We were talking about God's impeccable character. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. It's not saying that love is our God, but that God is the epitome of love. He's perfect at it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can you imagine loving somebody enough that you'd be willing to give your son for them? That's what God did. That's the epitome of love, is to give your son for them. God is very loving. He's perfect at loving us. He loved us so much that he gave us his son to die on the cross for our sins. Amazing. In addition to being loving, God is also just, meaning guided by truth, reason, justice, and fairness in accordance with standards or requirements. Let me read Exodus 32, 31 through 33. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Moses is offering the unthinkable here. Don't punish your people. Instead of blotting them out of your book — this book would be the book of life, the list of the names of all the saved people — blot me out instead. Moses is offering to be lost in place of these other people, these Israelites. God said, "I'm not going to do that," because he's just, he's fair. He's not going to let anybody be lost like Moses for somebody else. You're going to be lost for your own sins, not for somebody else's sins. God is just and he is fair. We see that from Exodus 13. Chantel from Arizona, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes. I was married for about 3 years, and I have an annulment. And we got an annulment because we both cheated. I had a baby outside of the marriage, and he had a live-in girlfriend that he was cheating with. Since the annulment, he's now remarried, and I want to know if that's okay that I get remarried.
Now, you cheated on him, and he cheated on you after that y'all got married, during those 3 years, right?
Yes, we both cheated.
Now, who gave after the wedding, right?
I'm sorry?
You cheated after you were married to him, and he cheated after he was married to you.
Yes.
So I'm curious, who gave you the annulment? Why would they give you an annulment if the cheating occurred after the marriage?
Well, the judge gave us, he went to the court and he asked for an annulment. He said that I never loved him, and the judge granted him an annulment.
I didn't
want the annulment, but
the judge in court, you know, not the Catholic Church. I've never heard of a judge in court granting annulment. You mean annulment, not divorce?
Yes, it was an annulment, not a divorce. So in the eyes of the law, I've never legally been married.
Okay. So in the Bible, that the annulment would be the same thing in Bible thing as a divorce. There's no difference. But I'd never heard of anything in the courts called an annulment. I've heard of the Catholic Church doing that, but never heard of a legal state. Was that in Arizona? Where was it? What state?
Yes, in Arizona.
In Arizona, you can get an annulment legally.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I didn't know you could. I didn't really know you could, but you learn something every day. So it was he your first husband, and were you his first
husband? Yes, he was. Yes, I was.
Okay, so y'all were scripturally married to start with, and he got an annulment because he said the idea was that you never loved him, right?
Right.
So did he divorce you? Did he get the annulment because you cheated on him sexually?
Yes, I believe so. Because okay. I had a baby somebody else.
I have to go off the air in 30 seconds, so I'm going to have to call you after the program. We'll talk about it more then, okay? Good. It's an interesting question.
Okay.
I want to talk to you more about it more off the air, okay?
Okay, great.
I'm going to let you go right now. I got to go get off the air in 30 seconds, okay?
Okay.
Thank you for your call, Chantel. Bye.
Thank you.
If you would like to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. If you would like to have that material where I show that all churches stood for the truth on this and compromised in the last 100 years, they all said, you had to get out of adulterous marriages. Call or text me at 256-682-9753.